Thank you for listening to this audio recording from LimoPlanet 2020 Free the Future. The following talk was presented at LimoPlanet, the Free Software Foundation's annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology. For more information on LimoPlanet, visit limoplanet.org/conference. LimoPlanet is a live conference with speakers who often use visual slides in their presentations. We have only selected talks for this audio feed that do not overly rely on visuals, but if you would like to see a speaker's slides, they are available at media.limoplanet.org. LimoPlanet speakers do not represent the Free Software Foundation. As part of our mission to show how important free software is to everyone, we have speakers talking about their use of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take positions on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedoms of all computer users, LimoPlanet is made possible by thousands of individuals who, like you, donate what they can. To keep this work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join or making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Libre Planet. My name is Bob, and I'm the room monitor. We are going to begin the talk, How to Make More Users Love Free Software, by Clarissa Borges. And Clarissa, please take it away.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I'd like to start thanking everybody for watching my talk, especially my friends and my family. And I'd like to thank the FSF for providing me a slot to talk. It's very important to me to be able to share my ideas. And let's get started. Let me share my screen. Okay. Before I actually get started, I'd like to make some points before. English is not my native language, so I'd like to ask some patience, because sometimes I'll make some mistakes and I'll speak too slow or struggle to remember some word. And this talk contains lots of my personal opinion and point of view besides about usability testing methods and results. But I want to show you my opinion and some possibilities about usability testing and how important it is to test software. So let's get started. I'm a Brazilian software engineering student at the University of Brasilia. I did some usability tests for GNOME through Outreach in 2018, the round of the end of the year. And after I finished my internship, I started to contribute as a volunteer to some doing usability tests. And I'd like to say why I started to contribute with usability and why I chose usability instead of coding or something else that I liked more than usability. My concerns on learning about usability started when I was able to build software solutions, but I didn't know how to make users able to actually use my software. Building software is pointless if users can't figure out how to interact with my applications. And then I started to learn about usability, and I was very happy to learn about it. I really saw how how much it makes difference in the in software environment. And yes, let's get started. So what is usability? Usability is a qualitative attribute that represents the ease of use of the user interfaces. There are some components, qualitative components, that can describe usability. They are learnability, which is how easy users can learn or do something on our software without having having problems. And efficiency, which is the when they learn how to use the design, how quick can they finish their tasks. And there is the memorability, which is how easy can users that once they learned how to use the software, how easy can they take it back and start using again without having trouble to have proficiency. And errors, like recovering from errors. If they have some trouble using the software, how easily can they recover and start using it again, or something like this. And there is satisfaction, that is how much pleasure the user can have using the software. It's very important, the satisfaction as well, because users have to not only be able to use the software, but to like using the software. So why usability? Usability focuses on users. We build software to users. They are the most important part of software. They are the most important part of the software. And users, we are quite used to users who are more technical here in our environment, but we want to reach the average users, and they don't really care about trying to learn how to use software if they have an option that they don't struggle to use the software. So they just want to get their tasks done, and yeah, that's it. I'll talk about usability and free software. I think I wouldn't be completely right if I said usability has not been a concern to free software products in general, but usability is not our strongest quality in free software in general. Most of the users, they end up being people who have more technological background, while average users are stuck to proprietary solutions. And I think the main reason why this happens is because the general impression is that free software interfaces are weak, and that's because they are created by people with a higher technical level to other people with the same technical level. If we want more users to use free software, those users are actually average users as well, we need to put more efforts on usability. The users, they just want to have their task complete, and they don't want to waste time trying to learn how to use the software. People don't insist on software that they struggle to use. The question is, why would anyone choose proprietary software over free software if free software had better usability? In this case, I'm talking about free software that have free options, of course. And I'm not saying that free software hasn't been working on usability improvement, but I'm not saying that. We can see the difference between now and some years ago. It has been improving a lot. But for example, in one of the initial versions of GNOME, I think it was 1.4, the Sun Microsystems invested in some usability tests on GNOME. And in that version, there were 5 clocks available on the interface, but users weren't able to tell the time. That's it. They had 5 clocks available to see what time was it, and they couldn't tell the time. I wasn't able to find a screenshot of that version to show you, but if someone has it, please email me, because I want to see it. So GNOME had a usability group for several years from then. I think they started on 2001, and they lasted for 10 years. Their work was really important to GNOME, and that's why GNOME is a very important reference to usability on open source and free software nowadays. So how do we ensure good usability? We can ensure good usability by, first of all, building good designs, following guidelines, patterns, and good practice. But the most basic and useful method to improve designs is running usability tests on our designs. So what is usability testing? We say that we are testing usability by watching representative users trying to complete representative tasks on our designs. By running usability tests, we can not only discover issues on our designs, but more important than that, we can find out what were the causes of failures and work on improvements based on the results. I'll share with you some types of usability testing, but they are not the ones that exist. I'm sure that there are way more than that. There is the field observation, which consists in watching one or more users in their real context of work while they are using software. This seems to be a good way of figuring out how users use their software in their routine. And yeah, the main advantage of this method is being able to keep track of all their needs and their steps of them while they're using their software day by day. And in theory, we use trustable information from that. I've never run this type of test, but in my opinion, this seems to be a quite invasive method, as you'll be watching the user the whole day. For me, it doesn't seem like the user would behave normal, naturally in their work, knowing that they are being observed. And even though if we just record a video of the stream of the screen, we would miss an important part of the user reacting while they try to work. And I think it would still be creepy to them to feel like they are being observed. There is another important thing here. that we would have to keep watching the user do something that we are expecting the whole day, and it would be very boring. Imagine if we spend the whole day waiting and we don't get what we were waiting for the user to do. It would be very bad. That's why I never tried this method. There is questionnaires. That is about asking some questions to users about a product or a design. They are useful when you don't have resources to run in-person usability tests, or when you want to have some statistics, like if you need to attest that your software has a good usability or something like this for marketing reasons, I don't know. But it is important to remind you that we are used to think that quantitative information is always better, but sometimes it's not actually necessary depending on what is your goal running usability tests. For example, if you want to find out if the users can save their work using your software, what will you do with the information that, I don't know, 142 users can't do it? You'll probably be able to do something about it if you learn why they weren't able to complete the task. And okay, but what if I ask the user why he didn't complete the task? Maybe the user will lie about it, or he won't be sure about why he couldn't complete the task. And I'm not saying that the user will lie because he is evil or something like this. It's because when he finds out what he needed to do in order to complete the task, he may think, oh, so that was it. And then he makes it out as he knew, because he may think that it was his fault that he didn't realize the solution with himself. And he won't think that it was the design's fault. And with that, we'll get biased information as he evaluates his own results. Thinking aloud. This method is about watching the user performing tasks in the design and speaking aloud his thoughts. And this happens in a controlled environment. And in my opinion, this is by far the best method, because we can create, we'll have a controlled environment to watch the user interaction with the design. And yeah, I'll explain it later. I will refer to this method along the presentation, so you see more details later. I won't be talking about the eye tracking, because I think this method is not easy to use and doesn't give us as much results as THA, which is thinking aloud. And I think I'll be running out of time if I say about it. But just to mention, this method consists in evaluating where the users look first to find some option in the design. And it's believed that maybe this information tells where the options should be at. THA is able to give us the same information, not the same, but closer information about it. And yeah, I'll explain it later. And of course, more than one method can be combined as well. You can do however you like. So where can we run our tests? We don't have to run tests on implemented designs. Actually, the best situation is that we run tests before we implement them, the designs, because it's cheaper, and it's faster to change a prototype than change a working software. Besides that, it is recommended that we run usability tests in older designs before we start working on a new design. And we can test usability on similar applications, because we can find issues and work on a better design than on similar applications to what we are working on. And we can use it to help with the results. We can run usability tests on paper prototypes to validate some design idea and work quickly on changes and then test again. The test gives us designs about the test gives us results about the information architecture, the structure, the task flow, and about the interaction design. Each paper in the prototype must represent a screen in the software. The design of the screens, it does not need to be perfect, but it needs to have significant components to make sure the users understand the functionalities. The sketches of the screens can be handmade or be presented by digital drawings, but they don't need to be very complex. They can be simple, just for the user to understand what's happening. And then to run usability tests in that way, it is required that someone reads the instructions and someone simulates the behavior of the software by switching the papers as the user clicks or does anything. It is better with two people, but it works with only one as well, but you have more work in that way. The tests, they can happen in a high fidelity prototype as well, or on released designs, of course. But what really matters is having a way of enabling the user interaction with the interface. So I'll give a brief explanation about how I run my usability tests. I will share with you how to run usability tests on your own, but this is not the only way that you can run usability tests. It's the way I like doing it, because in my opinion, this is the perfect balance between doable, easy, and cheap, and productive. This is my recipe to run usability tests. So we have to decide which features we need to be tested to start improving the usability. And then we write a script to our tests called scenarios and tasks. And after that, we prepare the test environment with what is needed. We test our own test to see if it makes sense. And then we find out how many testers we'll need. We run the tests with the users. And then finally, we analyze the results. I'll dive into every step to show you how to do it. And I chose a test I ran some time ago on the Files program, or Nautilus, which one you prefer, to illustrate the process. This is a screenshot of the program before the tests. It was a running application. And as far as I recall, this was a nightly version of the program that I installed using Flatpak. But I think it was, I'm not sure, but I think this version was never released in that way. So I'll start by the tasks. I will skip the part of deciding what needs to be tested because it's basically the goal of the test. It is important to discuss with the design team what are the main areas and features that need to be evaluated to understand the needs. So the first step is already part of writing the task somehow. The tasks consisting direct instructions about what needs to be tested, what the user needs to do. And to write the tasks, it is required that you do a sort of inspection to be in the user's shoes, to think how the user would behave and pay attention on where he could possibly have issues. Those were the tasks for the test on files. The user had to search for files, move files through folders, select all files, copy and paste files, create new folders, and change the exhibition of the icons. Next, we have to write the scenarios. Based on the tasks, we write scenarios. And instead of writing the tasks without no explanation, it's better to put the task inside a context where the user can imagine himself in the situation, giving a simple explanation about the reason why the user is doing that task. So this is the scenario I wrote based on the task to search for files. It's like you're telling a little story to the user to simulate a real life situation. So the scenario was, yesterday you reorganized your files and you don't remember where you saved the copy of one of the articles you were working on. Please search for a file named The Hobbit. After you have written your tasks and scenarios, you have to prepare the test environment. For example, sometimes the environment requires that you create a file, a folder, or populate the program with some data to create a realistic situation. It's up to you what is required. And in this case, I had to create a text file called The Hobbit and place somewhere to see the user searching for it. After you have everything prepared, you test your own test. You have to do it because you have to see if the script you created makes sense. And sometimes you end up finding there is a bug or something like this. After that, you have to find out how many testers do you need. In my previous presentation, I didn't mention it, but last year I gave a presentation about usability testing as well on Guadec. And in this presentation, I said 5 users were enough. But actually, I figured out I can't say that because I'll explain. But we often think that the more users we have testing the application, the better. But the less tests you run, the better for you to have more time to work on improvements and then test again over a new design. When we test with too many testers, we end up having some repeated information and it doesn't help at all. Because usually when when the user when one user have a problem with some button or something like this, the other users will have the same problem. So you already know that there is a problem with that button. And yeah, 5 users has been a good number for me, but it depends on the circumstances, because sometimes you can have 10 users giving relevant new information, and sometimes you can have, like, I don't know, 3 testers giving you the same information. So when things start to be a little repetitive, it is better to just stop running with new testers and work on writing the results and improvements, and then run new tests with a new design. In this way, you save time and money, and you don't feel bored by running usability tests just to follow some, I don't know, just to say you ran with 5 users or whatever. So, oh, and about the users, you have to choose representative users, because you want to see how users with the profile that you want to reach with your software, how they behave. And after you choose the users, you run the tests with each of them. To run the tests, you read the instructions of the scenarios to the users, and then you watch them trying to accomplish the tasks. During the tests, it's very important that the user speak aloud. What is he thinking? So, for example, what is he looking for? Where is he looking for? Why is he taking some decisions and stuff like that? If they are very shy, you can try to ask some questions like, why are you doing this, or something like this, to make them speak, because it's very important to know how are they feeling and to understand to understand what are they thinking while they are trying to do whatever. So during the tests, it's very important to be careful, to avoid giving tips or anything that may bias the user to choose some options. It's very important to stay in your own and don't let the user know what he has to do, like just the user and the interface. And after the user finishes a task, it's very interesting to ask some follow-up questions about the experience and ask why they took a decision, why they think it makes sense, and or something like, what do you think that would make this option clear for you? Stuff like that. It's very important to collect those information after the user realized what he had to do. And yeah, after you finish everything. Oh yeah, I forgot to say, it's very important. No, it's not very important, but it's good if you can ask the user to record the test, just for you to focus on watching the user doing stuff in your software. And after the test, you can write the results. So you just listen, and then you remember what the user did, and you can write the results. The results are what was right, what was wrong, what were the challenges, and reporting the user the results about reporting the results after the tests is about something like, I don't know, meta usability. Because if you are not the person who is acting about the results, they need to be clear so that the person who is going to read the results and change the design, they can have a clear idea about what happened during the test. And you can even make some suggestions on the results and say, oh, the user tried several times to click there, so I think this place is the best for placing this button. Like, this helps a lot. And this is the...
Five minutes.
Okay. This is the result for the search for files, this task. The user had to find the file called The Hobbit. And some users, they tried to go into the folders and look for the file until they realized that I was hiding the file very well. So they had to really use the search engine to find. But the funny thing about it is that most of the users, they thought that this top bar here was a field to search for file names. They didn't click here. They tried to type here several times. They clicked and nothing happened. This was really interesting. So the design team had to remove this thing that looked like a field, so that users thought that this icon would actually work for them. This is another way of showing the results. This is just for summarizing the results. And this is a heat map where green means that everything went well, the user didn't have issues to run the tests. And black means that the user could not end the test. Yellow means that the user faced some difficulties, but it was okay. Orange means the user struggled, and red means that the user almost couldn't do it, but he didn't give up, and at some point he realized how to do it. These results here were from a test I ran, the first test I ran, and each square here means a user. So I tested with, I think, 7 users. And this is a card sorting exercise that I was working on with Alan, which he's the director of the design team. This shows a sidebar, the menu of the settings application. And then we printed the page and we told the users to navigate to, like, oh, you want to change some sound settings. Where would you go? And then the user answered, but we did not simulate the behavior of the software. We just took notes about where the user thought that would be better. And then Alan worked on improvements based on that, on those results. I think this was a very interesting way of testing usability too. So there are many tools to help us automating usability tests on our software. And we can use some website to ask people to try a few things on our design and get a report about it. We can even implement some log system to keep track about where the users are clicking, and we can open a channel for users to report usability issues. But then we would miss the whole human point of usability testing. And usability is all about the interaction between the human and the machine. We learned that the best way to make our software speak the same language of the users is if we talk to our users. And having a facilitator to talk to the user and watch as he uses, it gives us many important information, and in my opinion, this is extremely necessary. It would be very nice if the developers, they run usability tests on their own software. I think running usability tests on my projects was what has awakened me about the need of running usability tests on free software. I was a little bit skeptical about usability tests at first, but it was really fun to see the results, and I encourage you, everyone, to try to run some tests with your family and friends to see the results. And something that people ask me about usability testing is if they can run usability tests on CLI programs. And yes, you can. I never had to do it, but I think the results will be a little bit different. But it's quite interesting to care if the commands and flags of the CLI programs are intuitive. And some other people ask me about remote testing, like sharing the screen or something like this. I think it works for some situations where you can instruct the user about repairing the environment, but obviously there are many limitations. If you can do it in person, it's way better. In conclusion, I'd like to open the space for questions if you have, and to open a discussion about how can we make usability tests be a more frequent contribution to free software. I wanted to hear your opinion about it because it's really something I'd like to work on.
Yes, there were some good questions from the channel. And so if you're ready, I'll go ahead and read them. First from Remen, question, I'm curious if GNOME uses only non-technical users or also tests with technical users. How does GNOME choose target audience?
I think it depends on the program which we are testing. Like I am working on usability tests for GitG, which is an interface to use Git. So it can be someone who does not know what. It can be someone who won't ever use Git. I mean, so we choose depending on the circumstance of the software. The best occasion is to choose users who don't use like open source or something like this. Users who use other operational systems and something like this to see how they behave and how can we improve the usability based on their background.
Very good. And Tom Zane asks, how have you gathered testers? Any suggestions for programmers to gain this type of research?
I usually make the tests with some friends or my family. I do have some contacts to see if I can get some testers. I think it depends on your region. Like I heard there are some people who actually they want you to pay them for running tests. I don't know. It depends on where you are and how available are people to you. But I run tests with my colleagues from college. I run tests with my friends, with my family. And yeah, if you think you can like search on the internet for people to run tests for you, yeah, it's up to you.
Ah, very good. Limoma Sai says, very nice talk. You skipped over thinking aloud, because that explanation would have run long. Is thinking aloud similar to observing users with the added instruction of having the users provide a commentary of what they are doing?
Yeah. I actually, the method I explained here is, it was everything about thinking aloud. Okay. Yeah, everything was about running tests with this method. Like, you give instructions to the user, and then you expect the user to speak aloud. What is he thinking, and etc.
Tom Zane asks, is that thinking aloud similar to rubber duck debugging technique?
Sort of. I don't know. It's similar, but in that case, if you are the facilitator, you are the rubber duck.
Okay. There's another one that's somewhat long, and since we're getting to the end of time, I'll just go ahead and read it, and this will be the final question. Luna asks, I'll just read the thing. Something I started thinking about is GUADEC, G-U-A-D-E-C, the best place for usability testing. Would not people be forgiving as they are GNOME developers and good at GNOME? Would not a random library or such be better to find regular people, or, well, regular people is the wrong word, that people have never used Ubuntu or Linux or anything before?
I did not. I don't know if I understood. If you think I didn't understand, please tell me. But I did not run usability tests on GUADEC. I made a presentation about the usability tests I made a presentation about the tests I ran previously. I shared the results and everything. We have to run usability tests on the based on the target that we want to reach. Okay.
Yeah, very good. Well, we've come to the end of your talk. That was the most excellent presentation. I'm sorry, we'll have to leave it there for that discussion. Thank you very much. It was excellent.
Thank you, everyone. It was very nice to talk to you. If you have any questions, you can reach me through this social media. So, bye.